We will be in Exodus 3 if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, or it'll be on the screen. Before we get started in reading our scripture, I want us to just stop and talk just a few minutes about where we've been and where we're going in this little series. Of course, we're running a week late due to the snow and the ice, and Lent got started and we didn't, and that's okay. It's all good. It's all God's Word. It's everything we need to hear. But we know that as we've been talking, if you've been here pretty much every Sunday, as we've been talking about Joseph, and folks, I don't know about y'all, but I feel 100% that God has a plan for each of our lives. I believe that. I believe He knows what He wants us to do. I believe He has a plan for you and a plan for me. And if you stop and you think about Joseph, where we came from, Joseph was cast into an old cistern. And a lot of y'all know about an old cistern. Some of you don't. But it's just a hole it's kind of like looks like a round fishing bobber. You got a small hole at the top and it swells out. He was put in that old cistern. And he was there until he was sold as a slave. And then he was accused of things that he didn't do and he was put in prison. And then, while he was in prison, he got to be the governor, for Pharaoh's governor, the one that seen after all of his stuff. Now, if you stop and you think about Joseph, where we've been for the last few weeks, you'd say Joseph was probably looking at thinking, I'm doomed. I have no future. I have nobody that's going to come and rescue me. My brothers all turned against me. My dad's too old. I don't have a soul that knows me. I don't have a soul that loves me. You ever felt that way? I have. I bet y'all have. You don't have anyone that's going to do anything for you. There's no one left. It's all over. But God. God is there for you. God is with you every day, and God can do anything that He desires with you in your life. But we have to listen. So then we move out of Joseph and we come into Moses in Exodus, and we're talking about Lent, the beginning. And as we come into Exodus, we look at Moses, and we kind of see the same thing. It's been some 400 years, and we're now, when Abraham was promised that his descendants would be more than the stars above, and he's thinking, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. I'm 100-year-old. My wife is too. And it don't make no sense, you know. But we know how that story went. Through Isaac, everything continued to multiply. And we're now looking at some probably 2 million people, something like that, that we're looking at. And it's done been a while. And so Moses is, the people are in Egypt. That's where we went with Joseph. The people are in Egypt. And we know that we've got a new Pharaoh, a new king, a new president. He's not treating them good. He's had them in slavery. And so we see that these people in slavery are not being treated and they're well at all. And they're trying to tell God, God, look, I need you to do something for us. I need you to get us out of here. We don't have anybody that's going to come and save us. We don't have anybody that can help us but you, Lord. And they have been praying to God and praying to God. And we're going to see today that they, after praying to God and thinking that they had no one, we're going to see that God hears their prayers. He hears their prayers and He sends Moses. Now Moses, as you think about Moses, you think about lots of different stories about Moses. But Moses was a Hebrew. He was raised in Egypt, Egyptian princess. So he grew up in the good life. He grew up under the good people, the good way of life. And so his people, the Hebrew people, were over here kind of like the song said a while ago. They were kind of like in the wilderness. And they had plenty on one hand, but they didn't have plenty. They were all slaves, and they were mistreated. And so Joseph, growing up, I read somewhere one time, I don't know if it's true or not, Brian can help me with this, but I read that Moses basically had three 40-year sections of his life. He had the first 40 was being brought up to 40-year-old and being with the Egyptians. Then he was put out to be a shepherd, which they didn't think much of. And so he's gone about 40 years being a shepherd. And then we're going to see the last 40 years as we continue. Right now we're at the shepherd stage. And so he's shepherding. He's in the field. He's not living the good life. But he's a deliverer. And how did he get to be a deliverer? Well, he was a deliverer because he was a Hebrew now, born a Hebrew. He caught an Egyptian man beating a Hebrew man, and he killed him. He said, "You're not going to do my people that way." And he killed him. And so after he killed him, he said, "I guess I probably need to leave and go somewhere else and maybe start a new life, do something a little different." So he began shepherding. And we know that he was at the well one day, and this Egyptian people were giving this lady a real hard time, and he ran the people off from giving her a hard time. And so even though it was terrible, just as it was terrible what David done, it seems that God said David was a man of his own heart, but it seems that Moses was a man of God's own heart as well. Because he says, knowing the history, knowing Moses' history, and Moses out there with the sheep, and that's where we're going to pick up in 3. Moses is out in the field with the sheep, and it says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. And this is the first time that his father-in-law is being called Jethro in the Bible. Reuben or Ruin or something like that was his other name. And he was the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement through the bush. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. Now, here if you look right here, we see that God confronts Moses for the first time. And he says, "Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Do not come any closer." Now, God is fixing to speak to Moses. He's going to tell him what's going on here. So he says, "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, he's fixing to commission him as a deliverer. And he says, "Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I don't know if all that's right or not, now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel have reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign, that I am one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you. They will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? And God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. Now go and call together all the elders of Israel and tell them, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me. He told me, I have been watching closely, and I see how the Egyptians are treating you. I have promised to rescue you from your oppression in Egypt, and I will lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Brian says, say it fast, you. They won't know no different. I'm not fast at anything. The elders of Israel will accept your message. Then you and the elders must go to the king of Egypt and tell him, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So please let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him. So I will raise my hand and strike the Egyptians, performing all kinds of miracles among them. Then at the last, he will let you go, and I will cause the Egyptians to look favorably upon you. They will give you gifts when you go, and you will not leave empty-handed. Every Israelite woman will ask for articles of silver and gold and fine clothing from her Egyptian neighbors and from the foreign women in their houses. You will dress your sons and daughters with these, stripping the Egyptians of their wealth. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we take a look at this reading, a lot going on in this one chapter here. Moses, he's just minding his own business. He's watching over the sheep. He's just taking care of the flock. And all at once, there's a bush that's on fire. And when he approaches this bush to see what's going on, this bush shouldn't be on fire. And if it was, it should have done burn up before I could get to it. And when he approaches this bush, he sees it's something about it's not normal. And he goes and he looks in at that bush, and God spoke to him through that bush. And when he spoke to him through the bush, Moses said, here, Lord, here I am. This is Moses. Now, can you imagine you being out in the yard or out in the back somewhere and the bush on fire, and when you approach the bush, God saying, Mike, and me recognizing that this is God. This is the Lord. He says, I say to him, yes, God, here I am. And he speaks to me. You know, folks, this is where we all start with our relationship with the Lord. This is before Easter. This is a time we're looking for Jesus to come. This is a time that we know he's coming back. But this is a time we're looking for him to die upon a cross for our sin. This is the time we know that he's coming to be our Savior. He's going back to be with God the Father. And here we see him, and Moses recognizes him in this bush. How many of us here today would recognize him in that bush? I don't think I would, not unless he had given me a hint that it would be him before I got there. But I think today, folks, as we hear Moses speaking to God in the bush, and he's confronting God confronting Moses for the first time, I think that we ourselves, so many of us, hear God speak to us in a still small voice, and we do not want to hear God. Moses didn't really want to hear what God was fixing to tell him. He says, he goes to finding all kinds of excuses. And so we know that he's telling Moses, not to come any closer, Moses, because you're standing on sacred ground. You need to take your shoes off, Moses. And he took his sandals off. And not only that, he covered his face because he could not look at God. He knew that this bush represented God. And he knew that God was speaking to him and telling him that he had something for him to do. And he did not want to do it. You ever had God tell you he wanted you to do something? You don't want to do it, do you? I didn't want to do it. I don't ever want to do what God has for me to do. Most of the time, I just have to go do it anyway because I know what the outcome is. But when he tells you he has something for you to do, you need to be listening. A lot of times we don't hear God speak. One of the most godly men I've ever been around, he said God's never spoke to me. Maybe he hasn't. He said he speaks to me through his word. Maybe that's what he does to him. He speaks to us in all different ways, folks, all different ways. But he had spoken to Moses, and he said, Moses, my people in Egypt, they're in oppression. And he said, you need to go and get them out of Egypt. Can you imagine somebody telling you last couple of weeks, you need to go, Mike, to Iran. You need to tell all them people, come on, get out of there. Come on. Well, Lord, I can't do that. They're going to kill me if I had. And they probably would have. But what if God had told you to do that? Would you have went or would you have stayed home? Because look at today. They told everybody that would listen to leave. Israel alike, everybody in Israel. You need to leave. They've been telling people in all these resorts and in and around Mexico, you need to leave. You need to get home. You need to get to your own place. And we know that things has happened here that are very historic, very historic. I can remember very well 46, 47 years ago, I'd have to stop and think how many it was, but it's 46 or 47, when the first time I paid any attention to Ayatollah Khomeini, and that was the first time I paid any attention to him, and that was when he took our hostages, and I was at Camden working that day, and I'm listening to the radio, and they went to talking about it, and I thought, well, who is all these people? What is the deal here? I didn't care. Didn't affect me none, But then as it continued to progress and continued to progress, I paid more of attention to it. And that's probably what got me started paying attention to what goes on each and every day in the world and in our community today. But Moses, he's telling Moses, you're going to have to go. And you're going to have to talk to Pharaoh. You got to tell him that I want my people released. Moses said, Lord, I can't go. He said, there's no way I can go. He said, I can't even talk. He said, I get all tongue-tied and stuttering. He said, I can't do this. He said, well, I'm going to send your brother Aaron with you. Matter of fact, he's on his way to see you right now. God knows everything. He knew that. And he says, so you talk to Aaron, you tell him, we're going to go. He's going with you. And I'm telling you, folks, this story is something that no one else would have probably done. But Moses did. Moses knew that this was God. He knew that God was speaking. And he knew that he had something for him to do that he did not want to do. So Moses, he listens to what God's telling him. And God reassures him. His reassurance was in 12, verse 12. God answered Moses. Moses was arguing with God. God, I can't go do all this. And God says, I will be with you at this, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. And when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain, at Mount Sinai. So that's where he was telling Moses, I'm going to go with you. And when you get through doing what you're supposed to do, you're coming back to this mountain, Mount Sinai, and you're going to worship me. This is the sign I'm giving you. Well, if you tell me that you're coming back to worship me right here where you're at, I'm going to have to believe that God is going to be with me, that God is going to not only send me, he's going to see me through this mission, and he's going to bring me back. But how many of us, me for sure, how many of us find 40 million reasons that I probably won't come back, Lord. If I go, I'm just going to be done with. I can't do this. And we don't. We do not do the work of the Lord. Because, first of all, it might mean us having to get up and give up some time in our recliner. It might mean that we have to give up some game at the golf course. Or it might even get worse than that. It might mean I have to give up a motorcycle ride, Steve. And that'd be terrible. David, that gets serious, doesn't it? I mean, you know, it's all. But when you get to doing that, you're really cutting into my time then, Lord. I can't do that. And so we see that he is telling Moses, I will be with you. Folks, I tell you this morning, if God has something for you to do, you're not wanting to do it. I know you're not. And I know there's probably some here this morning that has been a burden on their heart. They need to do something for the Lord. And you know what it is. I don't, but you do. And you're fighting it with tooth and nail not to do it. Not to do it. Not to do it. And you're going to one day, go to be with the Lord. And the Lord is going to say, why didn't you just do it, Mike? I had this plan for you. Why didn't you help me? Why didn't you do it? You know, we have so many things that we want to do, so many things that comes into our lives. But instead, Moses continued to protest, and he was finding all kinds of reasons not to go. And he said, in the 13th verse, he says, well, you know, Lord, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to ask me your name. What am I supposed to tell them? He said, you're supposed to tell them that I am who I am, that I'm Yahweh, if they want to know something else. I got to thinking about that. You know, did Moses really need to know what God's name was? Did he really think they would want to know? You know, it's pretty good when you can go somewhere and throw around a name, isn't it? It'd make you feel a lot better if I can go and kind of pitch a few names around, Lord. I'd feel a lot better about myself if you let me have a name or two I can throw around. We all do. We all want to throw a name around whenever we get to where we don't feel comfortable. The first thing we do, we want to tell you somebody's name. And that's what Moses, I wonder if he wasn't wanting to do. Lord, tell me your name. Tell me what I'm supposed to tell these people. And we sometimes can tell them that it is God. I am who I am. You know, I was reading in one of the commentaries I read in some, and he said, I will be who I will be would have been just as something that we might say, you know, instead of God. He said, I am who I am. He said, we would have probably said, I will be who I will be. But God said, I am who I am. But the biggest thing that we need to know is that it was the Lord. It was the Lord. It's not I am who I am, but I am who I am, the Lord. That's the key thing right there, folks. And Moses, he could have said, well, he said he was I am who I am, and he said he is Yahweh. But the one thing he should explain to him was, the Lord told me to tell you this. So we know that this name, Yahweh, it was an eternal name. And he said, go to the elders and call all the elders of Israel together and tell them that I'm going to pull all of y'all out. I'm going to get y'all out of here. And we know, folks, that as Pharaoh didn't listen to what Moses had to say, in the next chapters down to about chapter 12 or 13, I think it's 13, there's all kinds of plagues, there's all kinds of things been sent to them. And we know that God had to get their attention. And the last thing, I think it's in chapter 12, was the Passover, where they had to put the blood on the doorpost. And we know that as the Passover came, if you had listened to God and placed the blood over the doorpost, that he didn't take your son. But if you didn't, that they would, your eldest son. So we know that that was the Passover that God was telling the Egyptians that they had to do. So we see, folks, here that God is explaining to Moses what to tell them, how to tell them, to call the elders together and tell them, I'm bringing you out. And he said, the elders will accept your message, and then you and the elders must go to the king and tell him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Now, folks, we know so many times if we went to Washington in the morning and said, the Lord, the God, the Lord, my God, has met with me, and I need to tell you what's going on. They'd say, you're not telling us anything. We're not going to hear it. That's not going to happen. And I don't care who you talk to. It wouldn't be nobody up there to be interested. So that would be the thing. We know that they did go and talk to him. And we know that the Lord said, I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him. So I will raise my hand and strike the Egyptians, performing all kinds of miracles among them. Then at the last, he will let you go. And I will cause the Egyptians to look favorably on the women. They will give you all the things they have taken from you. They'll give it back to you. All the things you've allowed them to have from working as a slave, they will give it to you. Moses didn't understand how in the world that could happen. He didn't understand that Lord, these people are rich. They're not going to give us their stuff. You crazy? They're not even going to begin to give us their stuff. But they did. And that was the beginning of the tabernacle, because they used all of that stuff. This is how God works, folks. God has a plan. We can live into it, or we can live out of it. He has a plan for everyone's life. You may think that he doesn't. You may think that he's just suggesting a bunch of stuff to you. You may think that he's about half crazy. That the Lord, I know he's got to be crazy thinking I can do this or do that. Well, what if he told me to go over and pick that guitar up and play him a song? I can't do that, Lord. Well, I need to be trying, don't I? Because he may just give me what I need. You don't know what God has for you unless you go and you meet it head on. And this is where we're coming. Jesus, we're at the beginning of Easter here, folks. And Jesus was here on this earth. And God had him here for a reason. To die up on that cross for our sin. And this is bringing us to Easter. And so he is our deliverer. Moses was the people's deliverer of Egypt from the Egyptians. But it all comes back. If God had not had Joseph in the right place, if God had not had Moses in the right place, and you're going to see a lot more people all through the Old Testament, had they not been in the right place, then we would have seen that things would not have turned out the way they did. But these people, they listened to God. And they listened to him to know that this is what they should be doing. This is what his desire was. And this is where he's at. They listened to him to be their guider, their deliverer. And they listened because they loved him. And folks, this morning I want you to stop and think about how much do we actually love God? How much are we really willing to give up for God? Where would you go? Where would you move? What would you do for God? if he asked you to go? What would you do? Would we just say, no, I'm pretty comfortable where I'm at. I'm going to hang right here. But folks, you never know what God might ask you. And when God asks you to do something, you have to be willing to do it. It's so many things goes on in a week's time that I know that God had his finger right on. There's so many things I see. And I want to tell everybody about them. And I sometimes wish that I could tell everybody on Sunday morning everything that I had seen in the week that's taken place that I know God is in the middle of. I know he is. And yet, we don't talk about it. Maybe we should. Maybe we should take time to tell some things that we saw each and every week. We don't talk about it because we don't want people to think we're crazy. We don't want people to think that I'm all tied up in the middle of what God's doing. I hadn't got a life of my own. So I don't want people to think that. I just want them to know that I'm the preacher. That's all I need them to know. I'm the preacher, and I'm willing to come preach on Sunday morning. I don't need them to know anything else. And that's the way we live our lives, folks. But Jesus, coming to Easter, Jesus, we know, knew everything God had planned for him. And he's bringing us to the cross, and he's obeying God in every step. And that's what we need to expect. He expects that from us, and that's what we need to be doing. Watching Jesus, living our lives, and being more like him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.